Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Shea Stevens. The U.S. House panel investigating the riot at the U.S. Capitol is trying to illustrate the timeline of events leading up to the deadly insurrection last year. In her opening statement, committee chair, Vice Chair Liz Cheney argued that then-President Donald Trump led a conspiracy to block the peaceful transfer of power. As NPR's Mara Liasson reports, the Montana Republican says evidence shows that White House staffers never believed that the 2020 election was stolen.
Liz Cheney showed texts between Sean Hannity, the Fox News host, and Kayleigh McEnany, the White House press secretary, where Hannity says, "No more crazy people, no more stolen election talk." And McEnany writes back, "Yes, that's the playbook." In other words, the White House staff knew that Donald Trump had lost.
NPR's Mara Liasson reporting. There are still a lot of questions about the law enforcement response to the school mass shooting in Uvalde. Texas Public Radio's Camille Phillips reports that school district leaders addressed reporters Thursday but answered few questions.
District officials said up front they wouldn't talk about the investigation into the shooting or personnel matters. Instead, they provided limited details about campus assignments and school security. Superintendent Hal Harrell wouldn't even say if he's spoken to his district police chief.
That's a personnel question. I'm not going to be able to answer that in a public forum.
Harrell says the investigation into the shooting is still ongoing, and more information will be available when it is complete. He also promised to provide parents and staff members weekly updates. I'm Camille Phillips in Uvalde.
Ukraine says its military continues to frustrate Russian attempts to seize control of Severodonetsk, an eastern city in the Donbas region. The general staff of the armed forces says Ukrainian troops have repelled a Russian attack on a village northwest of the city. Severodonetsk and a neighboring town are the last Ukrainian strongholds in the Luhansk region of the Donbas. A new poll finds that most Ukrainians still cannot imagine a future in their country following Russia's invasion. NPR's Yulian Haida has more from Kyiv.
Even after Ukraine succeeded at beating back Russian advances on Ukraine's two largest cities, Kyiv and Kharkiv, this latest poll found that most Ukrainians still don't feel safe in the country. The UN says nearly 5 million Ukrainians have taken refuge in Europe since February. Almost all are women and children. According to the Case Ukraine Research Agency, just 4 in 10 people say they'd consider raising kids or grandkids in Ukraine under the status quo. That's daily threats of aerial bombardment from Russia. The number of Ukrainians willing to return home doubles, though, if Ukraine joins NATO, or if the regime in Russia were to change. Yulian Haida, NPR News, Kyiv.
U.S. futures are slightly higher in after-hours trading on Wall Street. This is NPR News. Nicaragua's President Daniel Ortega has authorized the use of Russian troops, equipment, and training. The move allows Russian forces to perform law enforcement duties and respond to disasters. It comes after Ortega's Sandinista government shuttered dozens of non-governmental groups accused of working on behalf of foreign interests. Dozens of opposition leaders, including presidential hopefuls, were arrested in the months leading up to Ortega's re-election last year. The Washington Post has fired political reporter Felicia Salmez over her tweets about a hostile working environment at the paper. As NPR's David Folkenflik reports, Salmez has been something of a case study in the Post's ongoing struggles with how its journalists use social media.
Last week, the Post's Dave Weigel retweeted a sexist joke. He apologized and took it down. Weigel was suspended for a month without pay. Reporter Felicia Salmez sarcastically tweeted the paper was a great place to work. Some colleagues pushed back on Twitter. Others leapt to her defense. Salmez kept going. Editors' repeated warnings to the newsroom were seemingly ignored. Her termination letter stated she committed insubordination and undermined the paper's reputation by questioning her colleagues' motivations. Salmez had earlier sued the paper for sidelining her from Me Too stories after she tweeted that she'd been sexually assaulted. Salmez's lawyer has said she's appealing the recent dismissal of that suit. David Folkenflik, NPR News.
Again, U.S. futures are slightly higher in after-hours trading. On Asia-Pacific markets, shares are mixed, down nearly 1.5% in Tokyo. I'm Shea Stevens. This is NPR News.